Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, August 21st, and I'm reading from the New International Version and then the New Living Translation when we get to the book of Ezekiel. We pick up in the book of Colossians chapter 2 in verse 6, and I'll read through the rest of this chapter. The title in my Bible says, Spiritual Fullness in Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Before we move on, I just want to comment a little bit about Colossians chapter 2. It's mentioned here in verses 12 and 13, maybe even 14, what Christ has done for us in the cross. It says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven all of our trespasses." How did He do it? By canceling the record of debt that stood against us and its legal demands, He set it aside, nailing it to the cross. And so we say, thank you, God, that in Christ you have reconciled us to yourself and you have made a way for us as sinful humanity to be in relationship with you, a holy God. Let's turn now to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 92, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass, as all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." And now let's turn over to the book of Ezekiel. Today we are in Ezekiel chapter 26 and verses 1 through 14. On February 3rd, during the 12th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, Tyre has rejoiced over the fall of Jerusalem, saying, "Ha! She who controlled the rich trade routes to the east has been broken, and I am the heir. Because she has been destroyed, I will become wealthy. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I am your enemy, O Tyre, and I will bring many nations against you, like the waves of the sea crashing against your shoreline. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and tear down its towers. I will scrape away its soil and make it a bare rock. The island of Tyre will become uninhabited. It will be a place for fishermen to spread their nets, for I have spoken, says the Sovereign Lord. Tyre will become the prey of many nations, and its mainland villages will be destroyed by the sword. Then they will know that I am the Lord. For the Sovereign Lord says, I will bring King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the king of kings from the north, against Tyre with his cavalry, chariots, and great army. First, he will destroy your mainland villages. Then he will attack you by building a siege wall, constructing a ramp, and raising a roof of shields against you. He will pound your walls with battering rams and demolish your towers with sledgehammers. The hooves of his cavalry will choke the city with dust, and your walls will shake as the horses gallop through your broken gates, pulling chariots behind them. His horsemen will trample every street in the city. They will butcher your people, and your famous pillars will topple. They will plunder all your riches and merchandise and break down your walls. They will destroy your lovely homes and dump your stones and timbers and even your dust into the sea. I will stop the music of your songs. No more will the sound of harps be heard among your people. I will make your island a bare rock, a place for fishermen to spread their nets. You will never be rebuilt, for I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Sovereign Lord. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I've been thinking about these prophecies against Ammon and also against Tyre in the last couple of days, and I think that this is a warning for us. Do we ever rejoice or gloat over someone who is experiencing misfortune, someone of whom we are jealous and we like to see that things don't always work out for them? I think that we need to examine our hearts. We especially need to be aware of our Christian brothers and sisters and what God is telling us, that we should never rejoice over their downfall. Rather, we should weep for the sins of our brothers and sisters. And so today the message for us may be that we need to examine our hearts and see where the jealousy and discord lies. And also think about when we hear of people who have fallen into sin, or when we hear of the downfall of someone, how that makes us feel. And just examine our hearts in light of God's word today. As we close, I want to lead us in prayer. And I want to form the prayer from Colossians chapter 1, where Paul continually asks God to fill the Colossians with knowledge. I want to ask the Lord to fill us with knowledge. And also perhaps that person that is continually on our prayer list, that we want to see the fullness of Christ's love and that His plans and purposes are best. Would you pray with me? Father, we ask that you would fill us and those whom we love with the knowledge of your will through all wisdom and understanding. This understanding that the Spirit gives, not the understanding of the world, so that we might live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience. And help us to give thanks continually for what you have done. Help us to be in an intimate relationship with you. Help us to walk with you daily and to know your Spirit and to listen for your voice and to be led by you as a shepherd leads his sheep. We pray all of this in Jesus' strong name. We love you, Lord. Amen.